John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Welcome to Bring Back Potato Cheesies this week.
They do sound good, don't they?
They do sound good, and sadly, you know, it says it all, doesn't it? The listener already know. I don't know what a potato cheesy is, but I know they existed one time, and they don't now.
Yeah, so and they've got potato and cheese. Where can you go wrong, really?
Absolutely. So if you want to join that campaign, you'll find out where that came from. That was part of Angela's yarn this week. Lots of topics of conversation, I'd say, this week.
Haven't we? We've really crammed it in this week.
Some weeks we just go off on one, and some weeks we're just zipping all over the place,
aren't we? And really, there's something for everyone. We've got lowbrow, highbrow.
Yes.
In the middle.
Everyone will enjoy one link today. Very few people will enjoy two or more. So stay tuned for that. It's a lovely show, so I shall say no more than thank you for downloading it. I hope you enjoy it. We'll see you after. If you'd like to join in with any of it for next week's roundup, it's john at absoluteradio.co.uk. Hello, happy Saturday. John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Hello, John Richardson.
Yes, I am.
You are?
I am he. I always think of Hyacinth Bouquet. This is she. we've got Dan and Will with us, making sure we behave.
Yeah.
I think we're a fairly safe pair of hands, aren't we?
I think so. We're not naughty children, are we?
I don't think we're naughty.
We're good girls and boys.
Do you think we're naughtier than Chris and John?
No.
No, I think they're the naughtier ones,
aren't they? I think Chris McCausland's a naughty boy.
Yeah.
I reckon he's a bit naughty.
We always start by tidying up the loose ends from last week's show. Not the cleanest show on the radio, but definitely the tidiest. Mm-hmm. I haven't said that for a while. It's a decent little catchphrase, isn't it?
It is. Why have you dumped that?
I don't know. I just don't want to get typecast. Do you know what I mean?
As a tidy boy, I think that's too late for that, mate.
A bit worried with Waterloo Road. He'd be like, oh, you can only play ex-Marines. But, it's the same with the catchphrases, you know. I just want to keep changing it up.
Don't worry, mate. Just bring back the thing about the cutlery drawer and everyone will be back to square one.
I think people just think I talk about dishwashers and look for carrots in shoeboxes, but I'll take it. It's nice to be known for anything. Anyway, if you couldn't be with us last week, this sums up what you missed. If you're cooking dinner for someone, you have it how you like it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I stopped chefing, stopped getting sent back. I don't care if it's how you like it. That's how I believe that should be cooked. And this is how I believe this record should be played for Sarah.
Record, all right, Grandad. Oh, that was your lovely Partridge moment. There were a few of those last week, weren't there?
I don't like it when the clip starts and I can't remember what it was. And I think, oh no. And that was me trying to be good.
Yeah, don't do that.
I see you've edited out Whale where you audibly booed me.
Yes,
on air.
I have, yeah,
you did taken
that
out.
All right, thank you very much. Fair enough. It doesn't sound as bad as you made me feel.
Do you think? Do you want to listen again?
No, never, never. Let's spin it and call this the last show ever. Anyway, we discussed a news story last week about a family who stayed in an Airbnb, saw a photo of themselves on the wall.
It's still freaking me out, that.
You told us an equally good story about how you were in Newfoundland and you saw a picture of somebody who looks like you.
Yeah.
It's a similar story.
It's a similar story.
Ian has some feedback for you.
Hi, John and Angela. Big fan of the show, and I should just preface this by saying to Angela, you're very funny and obviously extremely bright, and that's clear even without the whole House of Games undefeated record thing. However, I do want to correct a clearly wrong statement made on last week's show, where you said Newfoundland was a tiny island. The island portion of Newfoundland would cover 45% of the United Kingdom. So it definitely isn't a small island, even if it does seem that way when you're there. It's one of the biggest in the world. So anyway, great show. Hi, thanks, Ian. Bye.
Yeah, Ian. I will take it, Ian.
Go on, Ian.
In my defence, although I like you, Ian, because Ian did a real, like, is Ian a teacher? Because he did a proper praise sandwich there, didn't he?
Yes.
He properly built me up before knocking me down. I loved that.
An open sandwich. There was no praise at the end, was there?
That's true. You're right. It's about the size of England and Wales, Newfoundland. But I meant small in terms of there's only, like, a population of about 500,000.
That definition of small. Not many people live there.
It feels. You're right. You got me, and you got me. It is not a tiny. But I was. It's tiny if you compare it to the rest of Canada, right? Canada's massive.
Oh yeah, that definition.
So then
small
it's tiny
compared to Canada.
Yeah.
I think that's what people mean when they say, "Oh, John Richardson's quite small." I mean, well, not a lot of people live on him, and compared to Canada, he's tiny. Oh, I had another conversation with somebody this week about whether I was 5'8 or not. I find it so depressing. So how tall actually are you?
Oh, that was me. I think you had that conversation with
him.
I try
and say 5'9", and they said, I think 5'8 is fairer.
I think you are taller than... You're like, than you appear.
Taller than I play.
Taller than you sound.
what range do you play? Anything from 5'7 to 5'9. And finally, we last week we had some fun asking you to guess, Angela, the names of films from people's vague one-sentence summaries. Craig has sent one in that says, off the back of last week's section about guessing films based off one line, I want to challenge both of you to identify one. Full disclosure, this does come from a widely popular meme on the internet. So he's stolen it.
Yeah.
But to sum up, the line to sum up the film is, rich girl lets poor man freeze to death. See if you can get it. Thanks, Craig.
We've already had that film.
What do you think it is?
Titanic, isn't it? Surely.
No, it's Pingu the movie. Unless you've seen the film versions.
If there was a Pingu the movie, surely you've got a part in that. Surely.
What noise did he use? That kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah. And if there isn't one, and they are making it, I am available. Get in touch anytime you like about any film roles you've got for me. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. In the interest of balance.
Yes.
We are going to talk later about our trip to the darts.
Darts. Oh, I loved it so much.
It was great. So we'll fill you in, because we told you last week that we were going to talk about it. But it just you don't want to, if you start that chaotic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've got to build up to the darts, haven't you?
You've got to build up to it. So we will both set a challenge after the darts of what is the most middle class thing we can do to balance out the night we've just had. I think your trump card is pretty exceptional.
It's
Where did you go the day after the darts?
I went to Sandringham Flower Show on the day the King was there. Yes.
Wow.
I didn't bump into him, but you know, we were in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, it's a hell of a gear shift.
It's quiet, isn't it? Blackpool Darts, Sandringham Estate for the RHS Flower Show.
Jugs of Guinness at the Sandringham Flower
yeah,
Show?
Yeah, chug, chug, chug. Absolutely.
What songs do they sing?
English country, down out.
I've had the odd invite to a flower show.
Right, never fancied it.
Not yet to accept.
Do you know, I'd come with us next year, because friends of the show, Kerry Godleman and Susie Ruffle, went this year. I know I went, and it's much more fun than you think it's going to be.
Well, it would be.
Yeah. you've got a garden, right?
I have got a garden, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do gardening, or do you have a gardener?
I have a gentleman who tends to my privet.
But do you have a garden?
I have a lovely... There's a lovely chap called Connor who just keeps everything in check. I'm going to turn it into a wildlife garden is what I want.
I'll help you with your wildlife garden. That's what I've done in my
I'm going to dig out a little pond, but I think I'm scared of frogs. Because my daughter really wants us to get tadpoles and frogs, but
frogs
I think
born.
I'm scared of them.
It'd be fine. Put it at the bottom of the garden.
Yeah.
And you could do it in just like, I've bought an old tin bath and I'm just doing it in that.
I did that once with a toilet. We had our bathroom done. I put a toilet in the garden, filled it with compost, and I planted lavender in it. And I called lavender.
Oh, nice. I see what you did there.
Nobody
and I took a photo
there.
Well, do you know what? At Sandringham Flower Show yesterday, there was a toilet garden, and I took a photo of it so I can show you that.
Oh, that's so risky, isn't it?
You see?
You?
Oh, well, thank you.
Is that what you said when you saw it?
That's what I said when I saw it. I feel like I should explain to anyone who doesn't know.
No.
I stayed in a hotel with a posh toilet, and when you walk through the door, the lid opened, so I went, oh, thank you.
It's one of the few things where I think when you explain it, it makes it worse.
It does actually, doesn't it?
Because you were just saying thank you could be anything, and it's quite polite, and then we said, just to explain, I was talking to a toilet. It actually makes it worse. Someone's told me the day to go to a flower show is at the end, because they flog it
all
off.
They sell it all off on the Sunday evening. That's when they sell off all the flowers.
It's like sort of B&M closing down sale.
Yeah,
but with lemon trees.
I did buy quite a lot of plants yesterday, to the point where I had to buy a little trolley to put them in.
Oh.
You could buy a little collapsible trolley, and I thought, well, this probably isn't going to be my last rodeo at a flower show. So so I brought a little trolley.
What did you buy?
Put all the plants did I buy?
Yeah.
I bought some verbena, and I bought some...
That's a cake? Lemon verbena?
That's a herb, lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena.
Yeah, there all you right. go. And I bought... What else did I buy? I bought a banana plant, hardy banana. And
you're not to get actual bananas.
I mean,
off.
I won't grow bananas in Hastings.
I know it's getting warmer down south, but come
you
on.
You never
now.
Know. It might not be long till I can grow bananas in my Hastings garden, right? Am I right?
Turning into a different show, this one now, isn't it?
What else did I got? I got some nice, pretty shade tolerant grasses that I can't remember the name of, but they'll go in my back garden. And I bought some. What else did I get?
It's all right to stop there because I realised when I asked, I didn't really care.
Oh, okay, fine.
I was just being polite. right, I'll tell you what I did that's very middle class shortly, but to have a little break, because that was all very sweet, actually, talking about flowers and people having a nice time in the sun. It's important to remember the bitterness that is the reason this show exists. If you're flicking about, why would you? It's all sycophantic, vomit-worthy rubbish.
I love him. We've been together 25 years. It's our wedding anniversary.
And do you know what it is? They sent it in on the Wednesday when they realised it was the anniversary. They don't mean it by Saturday morning. I picture them lying in bed together and, do you know what you actually are?
Yeah. Or they've texted it in Saturday morning because they realised they forgot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's what happened.
It's a panic buy because you couldn't get the service station flowers. Yeah. So you're using DJs to paper over the cracks of your marriage. Well, not here. Those cracks are dug out. I'm there with a little key scratching away at it. Oh, it looks like subsidence, that.
Well, you've definitely been doing that to my marriage for the last 2 years.
Yeah, keep working. It's not working, though,
determined.
Is it? I think, if anything, I'm driving you together. It's backfiring. What's better with me is when I'm nice about people. That's what makes them.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you and Matt are a lovely couple.
Stop it.
Anyway, we have one dedication a week on air here, and it only gets read out if you say something mean about the person that you want to say something nice about as well. So we call it I Love You But, and this week it comes from Dana.
Hiya, John. Thanks for giving me this week's one and only dedication. And this week I'd like to give it to my husband, Ollie. Ollie, thanks for being my better half. You are one in a million and I do love you, but can you please stop leaving drawers open and not closing them at all? It does my head in that every other drawer in the house is just open all the time. I'm even now debating leaving doors and cabinets open so that you understand the frustration, but you refuse to acknowledge how annoying it is. Just shut the drawers when you're done with it. I'm begging you. Your loving wife, Dana.
Oh, Dana, Dana, Dana. Have you ever lived with a serial drawer opener?
I can't recall anyone who's left drawers open. I think that's a real gesture.
Oh, my old flatmate used to do that. And you could try doing it back, Dana, but I promise you they won't even notice. They can't see open drawers.
Well, that's what I thought when she said, oh, I'm going to start doing it. That never works with anyone who does anything you dislike. Like the teaspoon thieves, you think, well, I'll put all the teaspoons in my bedroom then. See how you like that? They just don't. They'll just start using ladles.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's just everything will move up there.
It's so true.
You can't get them with their own thing.
No. No, because it's not a problem to them. If it was a problem to them, they wouldn't do it, would they?
What tactic I thought she was going to go for that I think would work is when she said, I'm debating leaving, and I thought that was going to be the end of the sentence. I do love you, but the drawers thing, so I'm off. You're going to crack a hip on a drawer, aren't you? That's the thing.
You get the corner of it on your thigh or something. That's, look, Will's wincing.
I think get a makeup artist to put, like, some bruise work around your hips and make it a sort of health and safety issue so I can start limping around the house. Oh, it's just she left that drawer. I just caught myself on it. Give that a week and then leave. He'll never learn. Anyway, this is for you, Ollie. If you want to give a slightly mean shout out on the show, get in touch. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Welcome back to Absolute Radio. John Richardson, Angela Barnes, producer Dan, and halfway out the building and therefore being very rude to me today.
Possibly ruder than ever,
producer Will.
I mean, if you just put those microphones up half a second earlier.
Yeah.
The nation would have got a shock at what Will.
Well, do you
just
know what, Angela? Do you know what, Angela? I actually think they wouldn't have been shocked.
Actually, no, you're probably right.
I think they just said that's exactly what we imagine he talks to you like.
Yeah, you're right.
Somewhat unpleasant. You were right, though. I was about to talk about the darts is coming, so there's some really bawdy chat coming. Don't you worry about that. People in bed on Saturday morning eating cold pizza just want to know that we're the same.
We are the same.
And we are the same briefly, but then we have to go and do something extra middle class. And I think this is the most middle class thing I've ever done this week. Because not only did I go and play tennis, I joined a tennis club.
Did you go to Wimbledon last week?
Oh, your face.
You're that guy, aren't you, who goes to Wimbledon and goes, this is what I'm going to do now. That is what... No, you can't defend that. You went to Wimbledon and you went, This is the lifestyle I want, actually. This is a little bit of me. I'm going to join my local tennis club. You've played tennis this week. I don't reckon we'll hear about tennis again.
No, I don't think we will.
I don't think we will.
Look, Yes, that. What I didn't do, I didn't take the Wimbledon towel that I bought, because that would have been, you can't turn, that's like...
Did you wear the Wimbledon hat that you got?
No, I didn't wear any Wimbledon apparel whatsoever.
Right, okay.
I wore some paddle shorts.
Right. And, oh my God, you're such a middle-aged man cliche, John.
I know, but I've never been included in the thing. It's nice to finally be the thing everyone's doing. And I deliberately went to tennis because I thought, well, everyone's playing paddle now.
So I'll
surely
be able to get a court.
The tennis courts are freed up for little goblin men like me. And I used to play a lot. So where I grew up, there was loads of like abandoned council tennis courts where just they got out of state and nobody had the money to fix them, so you could play for free all day. So we used to play for hours and hours. Right. I even went with my friend who we used to play with, and when I met him in the car park, he went, I worked out it's 25 years since we played tennis. I knew I was in for it because it was the day after the darts as well, and spoiler alert, I didn't prepare with an isotonic Lucasin sport. Put it that way.
I'm telling you right now, Will wouldn't have been able to play tennis that day. That's
absolutely
a spoiler for later,
not.
We'll talk about.
So I got my tennis racket out and I realised it was the tennis racket that I bought
25 years ago.
Yeah, it must have been about that. It's got Roger Federer on it, but he's still got the ponytail at the back.
It could have been Bjorn Borg or something.
I went to pick it up and I realised the handle had perished in 25 years in my garage. And whilst it wasn't the best I've ever played, and I say this purely in case my friend Alan is winning, I beat him 6-2, 6-2. Have that.
Did you?
Yeah,
I'm
really proud of
myself.
Did Owie
let you win?
He didn't let me win. He was trying his best. He was hitting it really hard and he's got man muscles and stuff like that.
Is it? How tall is he?
He's a bit about my height. It's not about height, though, is it, tennis? Except when you're serving, when it is difficult.
Are
to...
you a grunter when you serve?
No, I wasn't.
Why's everyone lost it?
I wasn't historically a grunter, no. But now I've become a sort of a moaner. Yeah. What is very odd, so I'm going to have some lessons. If anyone's listening, it's a tennis coach. I've got a single-handed backhand, but double-handed forehand. And there were some kids having lessons and I could hear them laughing at me.
Really?
And these were kids of maybe 6 or 7. But I tell you what, I hit one shot and it's depressing how little sporting achievement I've got in my life that this means something to me. But Alan went to lob me and you don't lob a frame like this.
I thought you were going to say, you don't lob a friend.
Oh, I loved him a lot. He went to lob me and I smashed it and I heard a kid behind me go, wow.
Oh, what a moment.
The best I've felt since Bullseye.
Oh,
I'll tell
John.
You, absolutely wonderful. But I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it because you've got to do something, haven't you?
So we can monitor your progress on this show. That'd be lovely. See how you're getting on.
Yeah, my hip nearly went at one point, near the end.
Be careful.
And that's
John.
Depressing side of your age. When I sort of twinged in the past, Alan would have gone run it off and he went, is that us done then? Nearly. Today we're answering the question, how long is too long for us to spend together a week? And the answer is 3 days.
Yes.
We've had two and it was fine. This is too much.
It's getting a little bit tense.
So what do? You look out of the window, turn your gaze upon the world, and we'll discuss news stories that weren't in the main news report, but could, would, or should have been in the news, might have made the world seem a slightly better place.
Mm.
Angela?
I'm slightly nervous about this one, John, because it is another Guinness World Record, and we know what happens. I end up having to try to beat the world record when I have and this one, I'm really nervous about saying it, but I do think it's beatable.
Now, you speak as someone, for listeners joining us, if not for the first time, you attempted a world record on air. We even had Joanne in from Guinness.
From
world
Guinness.
Records.
And she was like all suited and booted and she had the certificate ready and her handbag ready.
Do you want to hear the quote?
Go on then.
Didn't get disqualified, though, so that is something to be proud of. You simply failed.
I simply failed. And you fell. I mean, what was the record? Was 10 Ferrero Rocher?
9 Ferrero Rocher in a minute. I managed 3.
And a half.
And a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
there was
the
that horrible
remember.
Point where I showed half a Ferrero Rocher in my mouth to a woman I'd just met.
Yes, that's nice. If that had been the 9th one and you were trying to prove you'd done 9.5, I could get it. But the difference between 3 and 3.5 on a record
of 10. Stop it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's done. It's done, Angela. It's done. Richard Osman's not watching. It's fine. You can keep your trophy. Right, what's this one we're going for then?
Okay, so this is Nathan Davies has become a Guinness World Record holder after making good a promise he made on national television. So he was on the 1% Club.
Okay.
And he said he could beat a world record. And the one he chose was for eating the most fish fingers in a minute. How many do you reckon it was?
Fish fingers in a minute. Are you allowed to put more than one at once in?
I don't think... Well, if it's the same rules as Ferrero Rocher, if sure. same rules apply, you have to finish it and show that you finished it before you can start the next one. So you can't put two in your mouth at once.
I'm going to say... Yeah, I'm going to say about 10.
15.
15's the world record.
So that's what?
And you think you can do that?
That's one every 4 seconds, right? Is that my maths? That's
yeah,
right.
But, yeah, but for a minute. It's not one every 4 seconds for 4 seconds. It's bang, 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 fish finger, fish finger.
I'm not saying it would be easy, but I think it would be easier. They're not as claggy as Ferrero Rocher, right? The problem with the Ferrero Rocher...
Start blaming the clag.
...was it was claggy. It's claggy, yeah, yeah. ...clagged around your teeth, whereas you right. could basically all disintegrate and go down, wouldn't
Cut
it?
Cut forward to finger. 2 weeks. Well, the issue is they're very fishy. You end up pining for the clagginess. Was there a little off-air challenge? I heard you two whispering. What was it? What was the swagger there?
Oh yeah, you're laughing, Will. But you definitely said that you'd race me to 15.
I could do it. Easy.
They are.
You could easy do 15 fish fingers in a minute.
I'd do 20.
But you have to do one at a time, Will. You can't put them all in at once.
I could do 20 fish fingers.
Because I saw you on the morning after the darts, so I know you can get quite a lot in at once.
If I could do 15 pints of Guinness, I could do 20 fish fingers.
Yeah, that was across a period of time.
More than a minute. And a bit more.
I don't want to reference the fish finger gate, but not all the pints of Guinness stayed in, did they?
No, they didn't, no.
We'll get to that shortly.
We will.
Is there an oven at Absolute Radio Towers?
No.
How do you feel about me preparing some fish fingers at home and then bringing them in?
I don't
in?
Mind cold fish fingers. I can eat cold fish fingers.
Oh, no, I'll get one of them little like thermos kettle things. I'll keep them warm
keep
for you.
Them
if we do it, if we do them at the start of the show, how happy are you for a fish finger to sit in my bag for a couple of hours on a Saturday
morning?
Yeah,
be fine, mate.
Be fine.
Yeah.
I think as they break down, it'll help you to. I might do them the day before. And then just let them sort of
nice
sweat down
yeah.
into like a mush.
They'll be a lot smaller then, won't they? Just slide down, be fine.
Be like a bouillabaisse. I can do middle class as well, you
like
say.
Like a northern bouillabaisse.
And then we've got Dan. Dan's ready to take over production anyway, so it'll be, what a way to hand over the baton as Will is led out by paramedics and Dan steps up. So we're saying then your last show in the studio, fish finger eating contest, you and Angela.
Do it. I'm game.
Okay, excellent. Well, I can't possibly lose. Either one of you leaves as a world record holder or it's Ferrero Rocher Gate all over again. I'm going to do this one in my newsreader voice.
Oh, I'm intrigued to know what that is.
Could bananas be common in British gardens soon? Now, you referenced this earlier. You went to a flower show.
I went
show
to a flower
week.
Show and I bought a banana plant.
Bought a banana plant. Well, if you're willing to... Oh, I said plant then.
You did. Oh. You've gone proper
Can I just apologise to all of my people, everyone in the north. I'm sorry to Calvin Phillips. I'm sorry to James Martin. I'm sorry to anyone who may have... That was a slip of the tongue.
A plant?
Plant bath.
Plant.
Other words. I won't read the third one that oddly came into my mind. It would be the end of all of us. Could bananas be common in British gardens soon? Warmer summers and milder winters mean new fruits are appearing while we are saying goodbye to some old favourites. Peter, a 38-year-old school teacher, he's one of your lot, loves a bit of planting.
Oh, yeah.
He's at Rayleigh in Essex.
Oh, yeah.
Peter and Emma, they've had 15 years they've had these banana plants in. 200 they've got, so they gambled big.
Right, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't one at a flower show. 15 years ago, one of them had been at the darts, and they said, should we buy 200 banana plants?
Yes, that's like a great idea. Then people won't have to import bananas anymore. We could have the monopoly.
They've finally produced fruit this year.
Finally got a banana out of 200 plants for 15 years.
So let's see if this is a trade you're happy to make. So that some of the fruits that are now thriving in this climate, olives...
I've got an olive tree.
Yeah, like an olive?
Yeah, I love olives, yeah.
Figs?
I've got a fig tree as well.
Like a fig?
Love a fig.
Apricot?
Meh.
Will's yet to respond on any. Dan's not sure.
You realise these are all fruit. Will is not going to respond.
I like kiwis.
He likes kiwis now.
Here's what we're losing. We are losing rhubarb. Apparently rhubarb is struggling now, and gooseberries.
It
feels like it's an all right trade, that, doesn't it? The bitterest. I mean, the only thing you can do with a gooseberry is cook it with about 300 kilos of sugar.
Sugar, yeah. Same with rhubarb, really. They need the sugar to really make them.
I think I'm okay with swapping rhubarb and gooseberry. I'm not okay with climate change, obviously.
Oh,
but
that's the news flash.
Yeah.
John Richardson says climate change is worth it for decent fruit.
I'm the new Clarkson, I'll say anything, mate. But I think I eat more more olives and figs than I do gooseberries and rhubarb, put it that way, despite what you'd tell from looking at my face.
I was just
going to
say, you were just like saying plants and now says I eat more olives and figs than I do rhubarb and gooseberries. You've changed, mate. Yeah.
I'm becoming unbearable.
You are. You're
becoming.
Hello, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Am I becoming insufferable? If you're already typing, you already were insufferable. Save your time. I've already got there. Stephen bought the tree for his exotic garden a few years ago because he thought they looked good and believed that scorching temperatures have played a part in bringing it to life.
Wow.
The hotter temperatures in the UK have made it very easy to grow bananas. It's impossible. Oh, this is a good tip for you, Angela.
Oh, hello.
It's impossible to water or fertilise them too much.
Really? So I just keep watering and fertilising?
Keep watering, just in time for that hosepipe ban.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'd say at the moment it probably is impossible to water them too much, if at all. But he's tried one of his bananas, and he said the taste was a little bit like having a mouthful of ball bearings. So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
It's not that encouraging, is it?
That sounds delicious.
Lovely.
Yummy. Right, coming up, we're going to talk about how we got on at the darts this week. Will is covering his mouth.
Will's crying.
Not for the first time. And, of course, the literal police are back on Absolute Radio.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
So, of course, producer Will is leaving us at the end of the month.
I mean, welcome, Dan. It's lovely to have you.
You even spun your chair away from him there as well. And, of course, we said goodbye to Charlie a little while ago, so we decided we'd have a leaving do, and given that we've talked about darts a lot on the show, and Angela, you've never been.
I've never been.
What a little foray to the Winter Gardens on Monday. Thank you to Dave at the PDC for looking after us.
Oh, it was so much fun.
It was pretty good. It's such a good day out.
I loved it.
Yeah, I think I got to Blackpool about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You guys hadn't arrived yet.
About half three, I think we got there.
There was a few issues on the drive, weren't there? I can't remember what it was. Traffic, was it? Or
traffic, yeah. Definitely didn't miss a turning.
Didn't miss any turn. Didn't.
I definitely didn't miss a turning for the M40.
Didn't miss an entire motorway turn off, did you?
No, that didn't happen.
Yeah, we'll just go via Aberdeen. A little walk down to the pier.
Yeah.
Once you've already seen Fred Flintstone chatting to a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle at 2 in the afternoon.
You know, it's going to be a good night.
You're for a good day, aren't you? And then results didn't entirely go our way.
No, your boy didn't win, did he?
Luke Humphreys had a bad day.
Forehand Luke did not have a good day.
It might be my fault.
Do you think? Oh, yeah, because you met him. You got him to sign your shirt.
I was so excited.
And his little face. And because he ended up on the telly, didn't he?
He got on the telly because he signed your shirt just as he was waiting to go on, wasn't he? So if you were watching the darts and you saw a little boy leaning over, you saw a little boy leaning over the barrier with a jug of Guinness and a Forehand Luke shirt. That was our producer, Will. And then he signed it.
You were in the background of the shot as well.
I know, you said, I need you.
Your girlfriend sent you a screenshot. You were on the telly, Will, having it.
I did say that. I forgot about that.
You said, I need you.
I
forgot about
that.
It was like the never-ending story or something like that. Like,
I didn't even need him either in the end.
No, well, that's it. So there is a shot of you getting your shirt signed and just me awkwardly stood behind you like security.
But yeah, suddenly it was a bit depressing after he lost that.
It's a good job he was third on, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. The vibe has changed in here.
It was a little bit different. And that has nothing to do with the fact that Will made the decision, and I'm divorcing myself from this entirely, to buy jugs of beer rather than pints of beer.
I was at the bar at the time. I don't think that was Will's decision.
I don't think that's
what happened, John. I think you were
purely an efficiency
slightly
move.
Rewriting history there.
It was efficiency. That's all it was. It was efficiency.
Yeah. And then how would you say the decision was the next day? Because, of course, I travelled separately because I don't like to engage with you off air.
So I was designated driver from London to Blackpool and back. And should we just say the vibe in the car on the way home was very different to the vibe on the way up, I would say. And Will, we had to make a couple of stops at service stations, didn't we, Will?
A lot of stops at service stations.
Because usually I'm not a stopper. I like to just get home. You know?
Put your foot down.
I put my foot down,
Don't even take the turn off. Slows you down, doesn't it? We'll just move to Peterborough since that's where I've ended up. If we lived here, we'd be home now.
But yeah, it was a slower journey home, I think it's fair to say.
It's about 7
and my
hours.
Favourite thing was Will, rather than just sort of go, do you know what? My tummy's a little bit upset. I might give it a bit of peace for a while. He decided to try every food item until he found the one that worked.
So he took the very hungry caterpillar approach to a hangover.
It's like, do I need sugar? Do I need fat? Do I need salt? Do I need, what do I need? So I'll try it all.
I'll have all of it and that'll sort me
and
right out.
I was really shocked when it was like, no, that one didn't work. Yeah. That's coming back up. We need to stop at the next services.
Do you believe I've had a whole round of Tangfastics on toast and I still feel sick?
I'm going to ridicule you.
Frankly staggered as well that we've got this far into the link talking about the desperate ploy he had to think that anything was the solution to the fact that he'd had more than 10 pints of Guinness the night before without mentioning the fact that he bought little motion sickness wristbands at the
service station. So he had his little wristbands and that was at stop number one, John. Oh. He came out with, what you got on your wrist? With emotion sickness,
man. Thank you again to the PDC. It was such a good day. I can't recommend the darts enough. Just the atmosphere.
I loved
is superb.
Every second. And because I hadn't really. So obviously, the dartboard's quite small, and I always thought watching it in a big room, how do you get that? You know, but it just works so well. I really got engrossed in the games. I just loved it.
It's such a good spot. And being like from that area as well, seeing like a globally significant event going on in Blackpool and to hear players and commentators talking about how special that atmosphere is, yeah. It was a wonderful night.
The venue is incredible.
It's a really special place. So thank you for having us. We're going to Hollywood today, Angela.
Ooh, yeah. Glamorous.
We're talking Hollywood blockbusters today. Ongoing efforts to stamp out the misuse of the word literally. You are the eyes and ears on the ground. You are the officer on the beat. This is Officer Kenny.
Hi, John and Angela. I've been doing some investigating and I came across an interview with John Bernthal on Jimmy Kimmel's show. He mentions him and Tom Holland were in a film together and it was 1/1,000,000,000th of the budget of The Odyssey, literally. The budget of The Odyssey, according to Google, was $250 million. This means the budget of the film being discussed was 25 cents. I, for one, believe this not to be factual, and rather a flagrant misuse of the word literally. Do what you need to do. Thanks, Kenny from Liverpool.
Sounds like a slam dunk.
It does. I love it when the facts and figures are laid bare like that.
When they've done the maths.
Yeah.
They haven't just gone, I think that's probably wrong. They've gone, I'll prove it.
25 cent film, not having it. Let's have a listen.
Tom Holland's one of the greatest human beings that ever lived. I love him. And we did a film about 7 or 8 years ago, that was sort of like The Odyssey. It was a medieval sort of journey film, but it was made for about 1/1,000,000,000th of the budget.
Right. Okay.
Like literally.
About 1/1,000,000,000th of the budget.
So what leeway are we giving him then?
That's true. Like even if it was 10 times, it wasn't 250.
I'll give him a 10% leeway either side.
No,
he hasn't made a film for 30 cents, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Guy's a liar. I've just Googled to see which one John Bernthal is.
And it's which one is he? I don't.
Not the one I thought he was. He doesn't sound 49, does he? I know it's not. I didn't think that sounded like...
What do 49-year-olds sound like, John?
Older than that. That sounded like a young, preppy guy.
I sound like a young, preppy guy. I'm 49.
You don't sound like a young, preppy guy. anyway, it doesn't matter who he is. It's a shame, you know, he's at least had 49 years of freedom before he gets slammed into prison.
He's in.
Straight in jail there, John Bernthal.
You
mathematically
don't get
condemned.
Tom Holland for 25 cents.
Anyway, this one has come in from a friend of the show. It's Officer Glenn.
Hi, John and Angela. As a committed investigator of literal offences, I was staking out the BBC One Extra Breakfast show this week and was saddened, but not surprised, by the outrageous use of language on the show by a persistent offender, breakfast presenter Nadia Jay. I really think the nation's public broadcaster should be maintaining high standards with its gargling competitions. Don't think I need to say anything else, but let me know if there are any more forms I need to fill in. Thanks. Officer Glenn from Telford.
I love Glenn. Glenn doesn't mind doing the paperwork.
Yeah, it's just perfect, isn't it? Saddened but not surprised. I think that's the way we all feel. That's
what
how I
a dedicated
move about.
Officer he is. I hope he's had a carriage clock or something. I think
There is talk of literal police prizes for... Really? Just stick with it. There is talk of stuff coming for our most loyal bobbies on the beat.
Amazing.
I did say good luck.
whoever gets this, I'm literally going to eat my jacket. Like, because how would you know what that is, eh?
I pressed the wrong clip then. Well,
I'm no longer worried about the content on this show. I'm not. Sometimes I think, really, we get away with this? Now I'm like, oh, actually, it's quite highbrow. Secondly, she says, if anyone gets this, I'll literally eat my jacket.
I am going to. So how much time do we give her?
We don't know that she's not... What we need to know is, did someone get it? And if so, did she eat a jacket? Otherwise, we can't make a judgment.
Well, even if someone got it and she hasn't eaten the jacket yet, Will's shaking his head. I mean,
or someone... might never have got it because it was an impossible thing. That's the whole point.
She's not
right?
going to eat so a jacket. Never
know. We don't know.
She's not going to eat a jacket.
No, you but don't what if know. We could be the reason she does? If we, I mean, imagine if we get in touch and say you're going to jail unless you eat your jacket.
Yeah.
Well, lay out the gauntlet then.
All right then.
Yeah. Nadia J, eat that jacket.
I'm going to say by Will's last show then, since it's going to be an eating themed show,
right,
there's going
yep.
to be 30 fish fingers and a jacket getting down on the last show.
Maybe she meant a jacket potato.
Oh.
I'll eat my jacket. That's all she said.
Oh, well, you've given her a loophole there, haven't you? All she's got to do is eat in a jacket.
That might be what she, we don't know. That wasn't her intention.
We'll look further into it, but we're grateful to you, Glenn, for the nomination. Mm. We'll be keeping an eye on it. If you spot any misuse of the word literally, you can contact us on john@absoluteradio.co.uk. It's your time to shine, Angela. Not that you haven't shone brightly already.
Oh, thanks,
you've been
I think.
Positively effervescent.
I haven't.
Yeah.
It's quite early in the morning. I haven't.
Yeah, I think you've been really good. Yeah, I think you've been really good.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And not many people can do a link on a flower show at this time on a Saturday morning.
That's true.
They never did it on Going Live, did it? That's why they all focused on the Gunge. That's very much, we've never gone to the Gunge button.
We haven't
yet.
Had the Gunge. You know things are out the door when you have to reach for the Gunge
That's
button.
That's it. You know, you couldn't have Zig and Zag fill in 5 minutes on Sandringham Flower Show.
That's true,
that
you couldn't, no.
And I think that is the main difference between us and them. But this is your...
I love how Zig and Zag were your go-to. Wow, what's it been, 30 years since they've been on TV?
I was trying to think of what the name of the sheep was that did the ghost train on ITV. Because there's Ed the Duck and all that were Broom Cupboard, but they weren't. That wasn't Saturday morning, that was a different vibe,
wasn't
it?
No, Saturday morning, do you remember the 8:15 from Manchester?
Yeah.
Number 73, Motormouth, all of them.
But
Will's looking
at
me like,
what
are you talking about? There was Gilbert the Alien, I remember, what was he on?
Gilbert, yeah, there was a sheep, I'm sure, that presented...
I don't remember a sheep.
Nobby.
Yeah, Nobby. Yes, I think you're right.
That does ring a bell.
There you go. It's nice that there is some benefits to the twilight years of your life. But you can look back and remember things. That's all
Will I will say. Will thinks we're all having some sort of breakdown.
What was your... Saturday morning, you would have... I bet you were ant and deck, weren't you? But did you like that
Dick
thing where... Wonky
Dick
Donkey.
Dick and Dom. Oh, my God, I'm so old.
Yeah.
I feel like I was already 40 when Dick and Dom were in the bungalow.
Yeah, and now they're in Dad DJ booth.
They are in Dad DJ booth.
DJing now, aren't they?
Working for De Beers.
Oh, that's a callback to it. You have to be a real deep dive listener to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is Angela Yarns,
yes.
Where each week you tell us something that's happened in your life.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you make them up, you lie on air.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
You're proud of yourself for that. Last week's came back to me in the week. I was thinking of the swagger with which you told us that you'd been pulled over speeding and how incongruous it seemed.
I thought I could be cool and like be in trouble with the law and you immediately
I sort of hope that
me.
Theme will continue and this is about you holding up a biker bar or something like that. But let's see, what's happened to you
it's
this week?
It's not quite that. It's not something that's happened to me this week, but it is a story that I'm quite proud of. I'm proud to be adjacent to, if you like. And that is the story that my father-in-law, Brian Wooden is...
Wooden?
Wooden, as in made of wood, yes. He is responsible...
A bit patronising, but I'll take it.
He is responsible for bringing the potato waffle to the UK.
That's massive.
Bird's eye potato waffle to the UK.
Were they waffly versatile back in those days?
They
or
were
is that
waffly,
a new edition?
No, that was in 1981. They were waffly versatile. And he was a production superintendent at Bird's Eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he was responsible for the sort of trial of the waffles. And then when they were a success, of bringing them to large scale production. And he had to, with a Dutch company, they had to develop the means to, because they bobble about a bit when you fry on waffles. And then they had to get them into a freezer because Bird's Eye is frozen food. So they had to develop the machine to get them from bobbling about in the fryer. So he was part of the development of that at Bird's Eye so that they could launch them large scale in the UK. He was also responsible for something called potato cheesies around the same time, which were developed to use up the bits of potato left from making frozen chips. But they didn't take off quite as much as the waffly versatile.
Sound delicious, though. But I'm up for
they were
back
breaded
potato,
triangles
cheesy.
Of cheesy potato, apparently. Ooh. Popular in the late 70s, early 80s. But no, Brian Wood and my father-in-law...
All right.
And apparently, when the waffles come out of the freezer, they used to have to be stacked by hand to fit in the boxes, and that was a job that was done by what they called, different time, the waffle women. And my husband, Matt, spent a summer working as a waffle woman at Birdseye. So there you go.
Oh, there's a lot in there. I can tell you that Will is already ferreting about online. Dan has, there's some real chin stroking going on. Dan took that incredibly seriously. Do you know my favourite thing about a waffle?
Yeah, go on.
We're in the midst of Angela's yarns this week. Angela is telling us that her father-in-law, and she's given us the full name, Brian Wooden, which apparently means made of wood, you were saying, Angela.
I said that because you looked like you weren't sure if I was saying wooden or wooden
something else. I'm being facetious. I like the fact that the waffle box, the 12-pack, it's four stacked, and four stack is the same height as one on its side.
So there's like
so
a
if
cube.
I cook Elsie three waffles, I can put the next one on endwise and fold the box in. Very satisfying,
nice.
I have to say.
Nice.
That's got nothing to do with your father-in-law. Will, you went online. What were you looking into there?
Being completely honest, just to see if they still make these cheesy things.
Oh no, they don't. Apparently not. Right, apparently they were short-lived.
That is right up my street.
So if Brian Woodson is listening, the youth of today has spoken.
Yeah.
They would like the cheesies to come back.
What I will say...
Yes, we would.
Oh, John.
Away from Angela's yarns, mm-hmm. Birdseye have had a good morning out of us, haven't they?
Yeah.
Fish fingers.
Oh, that's... I didn't even think about that. Are they our new sponsor?
So nothing to do with... You were just looking into potato cheesies. What's your feeling on Wafflegate? And Brian. Is Brian lying?
Oh, hey, nice.
I'm going to go yarn.
Oh, interesting.
Because I feel like that with...
There was so much detail in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, with my dietary habits, I feel like that would have come up before.
You think I might have mentioned that to you before?
Yeah.
You must love a potato waffle.
Of course I do. Put them in the toaster.
That's what we do. I've always got waffles in the freezer because they're a good, quick snack. Mm. Pop some baked beans on them.
Waffle sandwich.
That's too much carbs, mate.
Waffle
sandwich.
No, come on. Behave yourself. Although I would have a chip butter, in fairness.
It's got holes in it. Mind your business, Dan.
I've never heard of potato cheeses, and I'm even older than you.
I like that you pointed at you, John, and not me.
So I'm a bit...
Making you doubt the whole story.
Well, it is, because...
The potato cheesy.
Well, this could just be a standard bait and switch.
Yeah.
Based on something else entirely. So I'm going to go with the... I'm going to go yarn.
So you're both going yarn?
Yeah, we're going yarn.
Oh, that's interesting, because my instinct is to say it's true because it's based around Matt's family, and we haven't really delved into Matt's family history. I know, of course, about your father, and we won't be telling many of those stories.
We won't be talking about what my father did for a living on there, though.
However, I am nothing if not democratic, so the studio says that that is a yarn, Angela. What's the heavy?
It is true. It is true. My father-in-law, Brian Wooden, was part of the team responsible for bringing the potato waffle to the masses in the UK.
There we go.
That's quite cool, isn't it?
That is very cool. It's something to say you've done, isn't it?
Did you get free samples?
No, he doesn't work there anymore. He's retired, unfortunately.
Surely he can pop back in for a waffle.
I reckon he could probably get...
He could turn up there and have a waffle. If I want to come back in here in 10 years and spin a record... I should expect to be told I could.
I'm sure there's records everywhere for you to spin. Those decks over there in the corner. What?
Could you just pass on my eternal thanks?
I will. I will pass that on to myself. Will would like to thank you for 90% of his staple diet, I would say.
Can I check in on some individual details then?
You can, yeah.
So that means the potato cheeses is true?
The potato cheeses is true.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently, he was in a similar role for Birdseye's cheesies, breaded triangles of cheesy potato, which were popular in the late 70s and early 80s.
Sounds a bit of all right, doesn't it?
So good.
Get back in the lab, guys. Waffle women is true?
Waffle women is true. And my husband spent some... My husband also spent a summer being a pea grader for Birdseye.
Wow.
Yeah, where you grade the peas. Yeah. Because only the best will do for Birdseye, apparently.
We're going to workshop some stuff off air, and then we'll be back to you with news from the Britpop Summer Diaries after this. We always look ahead on this show, don't we, Angela?
We
can't live in the past.
We are future people. We look forward.
People.
We are,
unless you count the two links we've just done on the launch of the waffle in 1981. However, lots to look forward to this weekend. Sarah Champion up next. Andy Bush's Indie Disco tonight from 5. Classic Rock Party with Claire Sturgis after that. And tomorrow, Chris McCausland back with his mate John Long once again with a very special announcement that we may or may not be party to. I love knowing secrets.
I do. I'm so rarely trusted with secrets.
Oh, I'm going to spend the rest of today banging on about that. Everywhere.
I'm not someone people tell their secrets to.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Oh, I do know why. It's because I've got a big mouth. But,
As you may have heard of our last couple of weeks, Absolute Radio, once again the home of Britpop Summer. We did it last year with Oasis being back, but now it's 30 years since 96. We decided to bring it back once again. After all, 96 was a big year.
It was a big year, yeah.
Massive year.
Definitely.
So Absolute got lots of cool DJs who were at stuff. Me, not so much.
I was 97 we're doing today.
Well, I've brought some stuff from 97, because we did 96 last week.
So I turned 21 in 97. What?
Awful.
Yeah.
Oh, hated it. Absolutely hated it. Yeah, I couldn't wait. It hurtled towards 30, I did.
I mean, my 40s have been my best decade, don't get me wrong. And I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure I was born to be 50, so it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But 21's a good age to be.
I don't agree. I brought you this. So this is from 90. This is this album, genuinely, I think it's one of the great albums of all time.
Oh.
This tells you where I'm at musically.
Oh, I love it.
If you expect it to be the Stones.
Is it Shine? No, it's the best album in the world ever. Yes,
best album in the world
ever. There were the Shine albums and all those as well, wasn't there? Oh, the tunes on this.
That's full bangers, that. If you look towards the end of CD2 and you're looking for a bad track, you're not going to find one.
You're not, are you?
Super fair.
Staying Out for the Summer. That's a great tune.
What I also did in 97, as is in my diaries, so we talked about it last year, so I won't bang on about it, but I went on holiday to Torquay and had my first holiday romance.
Oh, your holiday romance. I still sometimes think about that letter you wrote and it makes me really sad.
Yeah, I sent some very tragic letters to a girl who did nothing but show me basic courtesy for buying her a box of Maltesers and giving her my coat when it was raining. However, I had a look through the pictures from that holiday. I mean, they're awful. Blurry, like snappy snaps.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pictures of the crook of my elbow made to look like a bum. Of all the pictures that actually mean stuff, and I do find this now, that you take so many posed pictures, but it's the ones you snap of people when they're not doing anything. When I got back, I obviously had like two shots to use on the album.
Yeah.
So I've got one of my mum and sister in our kitchen, which reminds me of all the wallpaper, and you see your old crockery, and you're like, oh, I love them plates. And I've got this one.
It was always Eternal Bow from Marks and Spencer's, the plates.
I've just taken one out of my bedroom window.
Just out your bedroom window with a washing line.
It's just my dog.
But look at that car, though. That dates that picture so...
It's the ginnel at the back of our house, our backyard, which is minuscule because they put an extension on to put the toilet
like that
in.
Anymore.
Big metal dustbin, some washing on the line. The dog is at the back gate trying to escape into the alleyway.
What's the dog's name?
Bilbo.
Bilbo.
Bilbo. Not the best thing to be shouting in your area if your dog goes missing. Bilbo! But it's pictures like that, and I just, I would say to people, just take more random pictures. Take pictures of, I always take picture now when I go on holiday of the hotel room, because that actually will bring back more memories than a lot of the stuff.
Because that's
you're
where
doing.
You stay on holiday, isn't it? Because you don't like the or people or food, foreign food.
No, I don't like that. Just get room service. I don't know what Steve Wright used to do and just listen to the radio for 2 weeks in a hotel room. But I do think, like, everyone, if you ask me, like, obviously, it took my daughter to Disney, obviously got a picture in front of the castle.
Oh, yeah.
But I know what I look like, I know what my daughter looks like, and I know what the castle looks like. But when you look at the hotel room, that's when I remember, oh, that game we played where we had to hide the teddies under the beds and all that. All the little stuff when you fill in time that become the secret bits of the holiday.
Yeah.
Got a lovely shot of the caravan we stayed in that is just, like, dirty slippers and, like, we didn't have a bag, so I've taken my stuff on holiday in a bin bag, stuff like that. It's very evocative. Anyway, Kate, if you've got any memories that are... I feel like Absolute DJs are doing a cracking job of doing cool memories of the bands. I want everything else. So if you've got any random stuff from 96 that reminds me of alternative times and alternative things you were up then, keep them coming in. John at absoluteradio.co.uk. It's nearly time for us to go about our daily lives. What are you going to do this week? No, darts on.
I've got a gig in Dudley tonight.
Have you?
And then
I'm not going to do the voice.
In Bedford tomorrow. Don't do the voice.
Not going to do the voice.
Dudley.
You got that, to,
that one.
You,
you can't
Dudley
say Dudley without Dudley.
Is it from an advert? Is it the BT advert? Or there's something. There's some reason
Lenny
why.
Henry, isn't it?
Is it Lenny Henry?
Oh yeah, oh, yeah, maybe that's from what Dudley. It is. Yeah, Dudley.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
I've just done it about six times.
Done it about three times.
And I'm going to Dudley tonight. This could be a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right with it. They must be over it now.
Yeah.
Now, what to name the podcast of today's show, which will be available shortly after we leave the building. Doesn't he get it out quick?
Doesn't he? Oh. He don't muck about.
Sometimes I'm nearly off the tube and it's already in my pocket. Yeah, I think, shall I listen back to everything I've just done? I'd rather be sick. but there will be a podcast on your apps or on the Rayo app. We've had a talk about the darts, of course we have. We've talked about flower shows. Mm-hmm. We've talked about tennis. We've had news that wasn't in the news. We've had a crack in Angela's yarn. How do you sum all that up in one witty pun?
Well, I think we could use this as part of a campaign and we should call the podcast Bring Back Potato Cheesies.
Oh, really good. That's a new angle for us. Because, of course, we're trying to get somebody to eat a jacket as well, aren't we? We're trying to get Nadia to eat a jacket.
Yeah. So potato
really
heavy this show.
Leaning into working out what our power is. Yeah. Either by the end of the week, potato cheesies are back and Nadia's eating her jacket, or just nobody replies to any of our emails. I went for, because we went to the darts, and because the way Cameron Menzies won his game, and because you then went to a flower show, I've gone for the big fuchsia. Because a fuchsia is a flower and the big fish. So Bring Back Potato Cheesies will be available wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, I'm nearly done. All right, it's been a lovely morning. Thank you for being with us. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. That's me being nice to you before I'm aggressive to my colleagues, because we always end with an on-air appraisal. Where we're, now, you felt you'd had one before from one of our listeners. You felt he gave you a compliment sandwich.
He did. Well, a one-sided sandwich. I'm still waiting for the other bit to come in.
Well, when I looked it back, there was double compliments at the beginning. So went bread, tuna, mayo.
Right, I've just got to make the sandwich myself.
Yeah.
And
famously, it's not tuna mayo in that analogy, is it? However, I think, because he said you were very funny and clearly very bright.
Yeah.
And then he went on to criticise your geographical knowledge of the North American region in a way that I think was perfectly fair. However...
I've even got a tattoo of the island of Newfoundland on my ankle.
Have you?
Yeah.
It shouldn't fit on an ankle the size of Newfoundland. Have you learnt nothing? Is that Newfoundland?
Yeah.
How many times do you have to explain that?
Yeah, people think it's a really bad tattoo of Britain.
It does look a bit like that. I didn't even know that tattoo. How many tattoos you got?
Five.
Okay. I thought it was going to be a higher number. Took you a long time to count to five there.
Well, I was trying to work out whether these count as one each.
Yeah, I think that's the big... Are you going to go full sleeve?
I might do, yeah.
I've got a charity football game later. I've got these fake sleeve tattoos that I wear when I do charity football.
You did that before,
football.
Did you? No one noticed, did they?
I know, I'm going to do it again. Who's that rock hard guy with the tennis player's calves? Who wants
one
to go
match,
first?
One
Dan, would you like
match,
to...
He's had.
Would you like to say anything?
Just from a commercial perspective, I should clarify that B&M isn't closing down.
Yes.
Ferrero Rocher are not claggy.
They are.
So Bird's Eye will be sending the invoice.
Yes. It is a real gear shift, isn't it? Gear shift. Will, what would you like to say?
Come on, Will.
Oh, God, what have I been doing for 2 years?
We've all been asking that question, Will.
2 years, you've been an integral part of the show, but I have not once heard the phrase from a commercial point of view, I should point out.
I've genuinely got no notes this week. I thought you were both fantastic. Mm-hmm. You were both.
Thus spake the man who was nearly sick in my car.
No, I had a great time at the darts in the week. I thought it was lovely to get out and drink loads of beer with you both. So thank you for that.
Absolute pleasure.
Not a lot to say other than see you next week for the last one.
Oh, Will.
Is it last one next week?
Last one next week.
Okay. We all got a bit sad there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some fish fingers. But as a vegan, I'm going to need one of you to buy them. Angela?
Yes, I mean, well done, everybody. I think it's been a lively show. Everyone's done their job, even Will. there was only a couple of mistakes on the notes.
There was quite a few, yeah. That's a couple of day hangover, that, though.
Yeah.
And you know, special word to Will to thank him for the upholstery of my car still being intact.
Yeah. So, it's all been very positive, hasn't it?
Yeah. Cool. Come on,
very
John, your
nice
turn.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to say exactly the same thing. I'm going to say Angela, cracking Angela's yarns. One
thank
of my, really probably my favourite so far.
Really?
To a cracking conversation.
Well, shout out to Brian
cheeses.
Wooden again for that.
Shout
then,
out to Big Bright.
Yeah.
Big Bright at Birdseye.
Yeah. That's what they called him.
And also just your responsibility at the darts. Someone had to be the grown up, and you were measured and calm the whole way through. And thank you for that.
I want to say though, not boring.
Oh, still not boring.
Fun times, right?
Oh, getting stuck in.
You know,
yeah.
I still dance to Living in a Prayer with you all.
Yeah.
Someone had to not finish there. That was what tipped me over, finishing your jog.
That's what
I'd planned very carefully what I was having.
I carefully measured out how much I was going to have, and there was some left in the jug, and John couldn't leave it there.
Dan,
so.
Remembering the name of Nobby the Sheep from Ghost Train, that's exemplary work. Favourite moment for you today, right at the beginning when I was discussing whose mic was on what button, and you said, that's my mic there, you won't be needing that. I thought that was a lovely moment. Will... What can I say? Angela turned to you and said, what's that dodgy song I can't think of? Bang, straight in there.
He
can do it.
Real music. He can do it when you try.
If he wants to. And although, you know, a couple of mistakes on the document, quicker turnaround, because obviously you had 2 days off, so
yes,
much shorter turnaround time. And the only other thing to mention is the horrific off-air abuse. But
I stand by that.
That's something to take forward. I'll be emailing your new employers. thank you to you for joining us. Have a wonderful Saturday. It starts now with Sarah Champion. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show.
There we go. So that
sorry, I did a little burp. Sorry.
It's not the worst behaviour I've seen from people who work on the show
this
week.
It's not, is it? Not this week. No.
A little tiny burp.
Oh.
We're all still alive, though, aren't we? We're alive and we thrive.
We are. I'd like to end the podcast with a little... I wrote down a Will quote this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about takeaways.
How does this feel, that she saved it right till the end?
Well, there was a couple. There were some Will quotes and Charlie quotes this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were
great.
Both on in my car.
The Charlie ones are especially good because she's not here to defend herself. So really lean into those.
Well, there's two Wills and one Charlie. So I'll give you the Charlie ones first. We were about to go on the M1 on the way up to
Blackpool.
Is that
the way we were meant to go?
No, we were going to go M40, but I missed the turning. So we were on the M1 and Charlie looked at me, slightly concerned, and said, are there any service stations on the M1? Yes, Charlie, there's one or two. You'll be all right. And the two Will quotes that I've got from this week were, we were talking about takeaways, our favourite takeaways. Turns out Will doesn't like Thai food very much. And I said, why is that? And he said, there's too many vegetables.
Yeah.
Too many vegetables and Thai food for Will. And my favourite thing from Will this week was when we got to Blackpool and he saw his first Blackpool tram. And he went... Is that an overground tune?
I forgot about
Bless
that.
Bless his little heart. Yeah. Bless his little heart.
And then we had a lovely discussion about Coronation Street, didn't we? As is mandatory for people of a generation.
Alan Bradley being killed by a Blackpool tram.
Over a certain age, you can't see a tram without talking about.
You can't.
Dan, what is the event that, you know, if our time together were to come to an end, what's the event that you would want to go to that you've never been to?
Mm. Ooh, interesting.
Is it a sport? Is it a dancing thing? Is it a band? Perhaps it's like I've never been to Seville.
Mm.
You get a holiday out of it.
Someone's got regrets about not asking for the Melbourne Open.
Why did I just say I've got Blackpool? Are we still supposed to go to the Spreadsheet Championships in Las Vegas?
Spreadsheet Championships in Las Vegas.
I'd be up for that, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, great.
There
well, that's immensely doable.
So just for clarity, I get Winter Gardens, Dan gets Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quality,
yeah.
Sounds about
to
right.
To be fair, Will... It was you who should have organised Vegas, and you didn't. So,
I was also going to say earlier, I have never been to Blackpool, so I mean that is a thing.
Could we do it again next year?
Well,
match play.
I have been to Vegas. Blackpool.
Yeah, we could do the darts
again.
What is this? Strictly at the top of the ballroom. Yeah. We could just go to the Pleasure Beach.
Just go to Blackpool.
Do comedians still do Blackpool?
There was a comedian listed as appearing at the end of the pier, but it's not someone I'd like to discuss on air.
Are you on the comedy carpet?
No, it was just coming out as I was starting.
Well,
it's one of the few regrets. I've been a very lucky boy, but I walk along that comedy carpet and I think, well,
how did you get on it?
It's a few more years.
My friend Michael Fabry's on it. He's very proud of it.
Is he? Well, scratch that off and then get me on there, surely.
Nobody noticed, yeah.
Will's last show. Tune in Saturday morning, 8 a.m.
For more Bernie Winters material.
A race to 15 fish fingers.
Dog, if you're lucky.
Have a great week. Thanks for downloading. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.